praise the Lord. You know, I know we've been going through a lot of stuff about spiritual warfare. I know this is the second tape, but I couldn't get enough on the last tape. Because one of the most important things of spiritual warfare we're going to talk about right now. And one of them is called praise and worship. And I know some of you are going, oh man, what do you mean praise and worship? Well, let me tell you something. Praise and worship is a powerful, powerful weapon for your behalf. First of all, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I want to remind you of something. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Praise God. You know, you're going to learn a lot of stuff in this tape. There's going to be much revelation and understanding about praise and worship, about spiritual warfare. And if we read in verse 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So what he's saying is, you're not going to fight, even though we're walking in this natural realm, you can't fight the spiritual realm in the natural realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Okay? I want to remind you that our weapons are not of a natural man. We are not going to pull a gun out and shoot anybody. You're not going to pull a gun out and shoot a devil or a demon or something that's coming against you. It doesn't work. That's natural. If you scream and yell at somebody, that's sowing in the flesh. It's senseless. Our weapons are spiritual. And one of the greatest weapons is praise and worship. Now, since we're in 2 Corinthians, I want us to back up a chapter. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Hallelujah. 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Now, there is a spiritual law here. But first, let's read it. And it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is a spiritual law. What you sow is what you reap. What you put into something is what you get out of it. All right? That's a spiritual law of God. Now let's turn to Galatians. Galatians. Just keep going. It's in the epistles. It's in the New Testament. Galatians is about a book or two over. I think it's 2 Corinthians and Galatians. Praise God. So let's just turn to the next book. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh, or to the will of the flesh, will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. So what he's saying is, if you sow in the spirit, you'll reap of the spiritual realm. If you sow the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. What he's saying is, he who sows bountifully receives more. If you sow a little, you receive a little. That's the same thing of praise and worship. Remember, if you sow in the spirit, what does spirit mean? Breath. So what you're doing when you come to praise and worship, you're letting go of yourself. You're saying, man, I don't care who's looking. I don't care what people are thinking about me. I'm coming to praise and worship the Lord because of the great things He's done for you. So what you're doing is you're humbling yourself to the Lord. And the more that you sing and praise and worship, there's an effect happening automatically. It's like a cycle. So as you're sowing in the spiritual realm, because spirit means breath, as you're singing unto God, even though your mind is trying to come against you, because remember I told you that the mind is against Christ until it's transformed and renewed by the Word of God. So your mind's going to come against you. That's why these things are being taught to you right now. So as you're sowing and you're singing and praising and worshiping to the Lord, He's also sowing in your spirit. You may not feel anything right then and there. You may not understand it, but I'm telling you, something is happening, and it will manifest down the road. It may manifest right then and there. It may manifest the next day or 2 days later. But I'm telling you, sowing and reaping is a spiritual law, and God cannot come against His word. Now let's continue to turn back here. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Sowing and reaping. Powerful. Powerful. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest weapons that God has given us. Now I'm going to bring revelation, confirmation, and manifestation of the understanding of praise and worship. I left this last tape because there's a lot to cover in praise and worship. And I want you to really understand this so that when you gather together, when you go to church, when you're gathering together with others, when you're alone and the devil's coming in on you, man, just start singing. And I'm going to show you why. Praise God. First of all, in Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore by Him, by the Lord, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So, what he's saying is, you're offering up a sacrifice of praise. That's a sacrifice. That's a holy sacrificial offering that you're giving to God. And only believers can do that. Because you know who you're worshiping. When you sing into the Lord, that is a holy sacrificial offering to Him. You're giving Him the fruits of your lips. Isn't that powerful? I mean, praise God. That is a wonderful revelation right there. Remember, when you're singing, you're praising God. You're sacrificing yourself. You're taking the time to come and praise Him and give Him glory. And remember, every time you make a step towards Him, He makes 10 steps towards you. And I'm going to prove that to you. Go to John, the Gospel of John. So back up. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Glory to God. You're going to learn. I mean, this is just so powerful. It just blows my mind. And I can't tell you how many times I've been miserable, being tormented and attacked by the devil. All of a sudden, I lose my sight of the Lord. And I'm like, all these cares of the world come on me. And it's like, wait a minute. I got to put all this stuff down. Because the Lord says, cast all of your cares upon Him. And we want to do that. And then I just start singing, praising and worshiping the Lord. And it's like, whoa, what a total change. So let's go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. The Gospel of John. You may hear a dog bark once in a while. I'm trying to tape this series here, and we need to get this done. I need to get this to you. So if you hear of a dog bark, don't worry about it. Just keep listening to the tape, and to God be the glory. Chapter 4, in verse John, verse 23. Well, let's back up. Let's go to verse 22. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you worship what you do not know. And he's telling this person, this woman, who doesn't know Him. He says, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And he says to her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, if God the Father is searching you, that's what I'm saying, it's a sacrificial offering of your lips. If God the Father is searching for those who will worship Him, let me tell you, when you begin to worship Him, truth meaning know who you're worshiping, and spirit meaning breath. Do you understand that? Because God is spirit. So we're worshiping Him in truth and in spirit. We're setting our own agenda down. We're setting our cares down. Who cares about who's looking at us or whatever. We're coming humbling before the Lord and we're saying, Lord, I'm here to seek You because I know that this pleases You. And if we're doing stuff that pleases Him, let me tell you something. These things are going to please You. Things are going to change in your life. So God, the Father, is searching for those who will worship Him in truth and spirit. Amen? Now, since we're in John, I'm going to go to John 9. Let's go down a little bit further. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 31, please. Chapter 9, verse 31. John, are we there? Praise the Lord. Now it says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Now what does he mean by that? Well, you know, you and I were sinners, but we cried out to God. But he heard us. Why? Because he knew we have a repentant heart. We are seeking the truth. He hears those who are repenting, who are coming, who are seeking, who are looking. So he says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, if somebody is deliberately sinning all the time, things are happening in their life that they're refusing what God is showing them, they're sinning, God doesn't hear them until they come to repentance. Then he begins to hear them. So it says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. So here it is. Not only is he looking for you, but he hears you. And if he hears you, he's going to what? Answer you. Praise God. You know, I want you to look at this. Did you ever see a saxophone or a trumpet or something? You know, you have to blow in it, right? And what comes out of it is sound. An instrument. Well, you and I are instruments. Some of us are trumpets. Some of us are trombones. Some of us are saxophones. Whatever. We are instruments of God. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. God lives within us, right? If we're the temple of God, then the breath of God is in us. And He wants to hear praise and worship. It glorifies Him. It pleases Him. And that's what we're to do. Because we're sowing and reaping. And when you're pleasing Him, He's pleasing you. Remember, there's always everything in the Bible is, if you'll do this, He'll do that. If you'll do this, he'll do that. If you repent and ask for Jesus in your heart, you'll have eternal life. If you obey his laws and his ways, he'll bless your socks off. Not only spiritually blessing, but physical blessing. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, all these things are given from God. No man can increase anything for you. All things are given from your heavenly Father in heaven. I don't care where it comes from. They're all given from Him, regardless of what. Now, we can be swayed by the devil, but as long as you have your eyes on the Lord, God will bless you. You won't sway. You won't lose sight of what He's doing. And one of the greatest things that we can do to keep our eyes on the Lord is to praise and worship. Now, where did this praise and worship begin? Well, it began in heaven. God created the angels. He created the cherubs, known as archangels, right, to praise and worship Him. Now, I want to show you something about the fall in heaven and what happened. I want to show you that Lucifer, or Satan, why God created him. So let's go to Ezekiel 28. And why there's so much deception in music. And why it affects us. So let's go to Ezekiel. Back up. Go to Ezekiel. Chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Verse 11. This is talking about Lucifer. I know it says the king of Tyre, but it's also a representation of Lucifer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's start with, we'll start with verse 12 where it says, B. Now he's talking about Lucifer. Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So now he's talking about Lucifer. He's talking about Satan. He was one of the cherubs. Remember, there are three major head angels. There were Archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Now, Lucifer was like the praise leader. He was like the worship leader. Because you saw, and if you go back to verse 13, and you'll see that he was in the Garden of Eden. Well, didn't Adam fall in the Garden of Eden? Wasn't Lucifer there? Okay. But he said he had all these emeralds on him. He was beautiful. He was perfectly made. He had wisdom. And he said, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. Why? Because Lucifer was the music. He was the instrument of praise. And he says, all of these things was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub. See, Lucifer has powers given by God. He was the praise and worship leader of heaven to praise God. Why do you think he's doing all this other stuff with music to bring glory to him? See, Lucifer, Satan, wants people to praise and worship him. That's why there's such a big fight in the music industry. That's why, remember we talked a little while ago about Gates, things that we hear. Well, you remember when how music really moved you. I mean, it really moves you. Well, let me give you a revelation here. You know, just as the Trinity, right? There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, God has, there's Trinity in many parts of God's creations. Remember, I shared with you the Trinity of Lucifer was me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. But the Trinity of music, if you look at music, isn't music rhythm? Isn't it melody? Isn't it harmony? Right? Isn't that three? Well, because music, you know, did you ever hear of people saying music soothes the savage beast? Well, music, God created music for his glory, for his pleasure. And because Satan rebelled and sinned, came upon him, and God threw him out of his presence. Well, Satan wants to do everything, counterfeit everything that God has created, destroy everything that God has created, and bring it from good and beautiful to destruction and evil. That's why you have all these, did you ever hear all these Satan worshipers, or even a lot of these bands? I mean, I'm going to, you know, some of these things are going to blow your mind, but I used to, when I was in the world, I used to love Led Zeppelin, The Doors, a lot of these bands. Well, let me tell you something. These guys were all Satan worshipers. And Satan promoted them. Why? Because their music was taking people away from the truth of God. That's why it's so important to feed your spirit with the things of God. And there's wonderful rock and roll music out there of the Bible, of a Christian, of the truth. There's wonderful stuff, and you just write me, and I'll send you information on some of the music to get. Man, there's a group called David and the Giants. They got powerful music. I mean, of rock and roll music. It's wonderful music. Now, the reason why we want to praise and worship God is because one of the things that takes our eyes off of ourselves, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now, I want to show you a couple of the results of praise and worship. So let's go to Psalms, and we're going to hang out in the Psalms a little bit, okay? Because I want to show you a lot of things about praise and worship. So let's go to Psalms 149. Psalms 1. So just back up a little bit, a few books back. Psalms 149. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? That's why it's so important. Man, let me tell you something. If you're still listening to, and please, I'm not condemning you. If you're still listening to music that is enticing your spirit, that is giving you uplifting music, but it's not of the Lord, you're being deceived. You're not feeding your spirit. You're hurting your spirit. Okay? So please, I encourage you, get rid of it. Put it aside. You know, just put it aside for now. And let the Holy Spirit reveal these things to you. All right? Please. This is so important to you. We must begin to lay these things aside and lay our own desires aside and begin to please God. And you'll find out that your whole life will change around. See, because you can't change yourself. But only He can. But there are spiritual laws. Remember I share with you. If you'll do this, He'll do that. So when we want to sow so that we can reap. But we want to seek who's the giver, not the gifts. And when we begin to do that, many things will begin to happen. So I want us to go to Psalms 149, please. All right. Well, you know, let's just read the psalm, okay? Make it simple. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And His praise in the assembly of the saints. Well, you're now a saint. Saints are not just dead. We're saints. When you come into the kingdom of God, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now a saint. It says, let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Well, we're going to rejoice in our Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King, while we are joyful in our King. Let them praise His name. What's His name? Jesus. Let them praise His name with the dance. Praise the Lord. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp, musical instruments. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Now, didn't we just talk about humbling ourselves? These are all promises of God. These are things that He's saying He'll do. And verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud. Now, He didn't say quiet. He didn't say whisper. He said sing aloud. Hallelujah! Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations, and to punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all His saints. This is an honor for you. This is a blessing for you. God has given you this weapon. He says, praise the Lord. Now I want us to go back. Remember, we talked about binding and loosening, right? Well, check this out. Look at verse 8, where it says, to bind their kings with chains. Well, you know when you're doing your praising and worshiping? You're binding the powers of darkness coming against you. Is that powerful? You're binding the powers of darkness coming against you. So see, it's spiritual. It's not physical. This weapon may look foolish to man. It may look foolish to the natural eye. But it isn't foolish. It's truth, and it's a powerful weapon in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Now I want us to go to, since we're in the Psalms, let's do a little Psalm hunting, okay? We'll do a little Psalm jumping around here. Let's go to Psalms 32. So let's back up a little bit. Praise the Lord. Psalms 32, please. Hallelujah. Are you understanding this? Praise and worship. Just start singing to the Lord. I don't care what kind of voice you have. I don't care if you sound like a laughing hyena. Praise to the Lord. Things will happen. And let me tell you something. The more you praise and worship Him, He'll change your voice. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Psalms 32 in verse 7. Now check this out. He says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with," what? Songs of deliverance. So, when we're praising and worshiping the Lord, not only are we binding the powers of darkness, so we're doing offense, we're doing an attack on the powers of darkness, but God is also delivering us. Why? Because the Bible says that the Father looks for those who are willing to worship Him in truth and spirit. Well, if He's looking for you while you're worshiping Him in truth and spirit, when He shows up, everything flees, right? I mean, when light shows up, when your daddy in heaven shows up, the powers of darkness stick their tails between their legs and they run. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Psalms 137. Psalm, 134. Psalm 134, praise the Lord. Songs of deliverance. Praise the Lord. When He shows up, healing. That's why praise and worship is so important. When you praise and worship of the Lord, when He shows up, people get healed. Isn't that powerful? Psalm 134, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry, not 134. Oops. 133. Psalm 133. It's right there. You don't have to turn any pages. Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." That's why it's so important for us to come together and praise and worship. Why? It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I call this the oil of unity psalm. Why? Because it, when you're gathering together, when you're praising and worshiping with brothers and sisters in Christ, see what it says in verse 2, it is like precious oil upon the head. Well, oil represents anointing. It represents the presence of God. So when you're gathering together, praising and worshiping the Lord with brothers and sisters, there's a stronger anointing that's coming upon you. See, and in verse 3 it says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing." Well, let me tell you something. There's a blessing in the house of God. Remember we called the house of the Lord the potter's house. Well, when we gather together in the potter's house, the potter shows up and he anoints us. And he begins to mold us. And he begins to work on us. He begins to deliver us because he's shown up. He begins to heal us. Now I want us to go to Psalm 22. That's why it's important to gather together. Let's go back to Psalm 22. I know I'm going to flip around in these Psalms because I want you to really get this meaning. And then we're going to go to some men of God to show you what happened to them when they praised and worshiped. Praise the Lord. And why God uses this for attack and for defense. Psalm 22, verse 3, and praise the King of Kings. Psalm 22, verse, I think it's verse 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to, instead of 3, I'd like to go stay in Psalm 22, but go to verse 22. Now this is prophetic. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." So when you're praising and worshiping the Lord, the presence, it's like Jesus shows up there to praise the Father. All right? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, is that powerful? God shows up to praise God. I know that's kind of hard to, like, whoa, what do you mean? But that's what happens. God shows up to praise God. He inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Well, let's go a little bit deeper. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 132, since we're not near there. Let's go to 32. Let's go to Psalms 32, since we're near there. 32. 11. Now, what are certain ways that we can praise and glorify God? As we're singing, remember we're like instruments. Well, the Lord says, shout. shout. You know, how many of you have gone to a football or basketball game? Well, you know, I bet you shout till you're red in the face. Yay for the one team and yay for the other team, whatever. I mean, but people go bonkers there. You know, sometimes it hurts my heart that people go that much bonkers over sports, and I'm not against sports. That's great, because I love sports. But I don't let it be an idol of mine. If I'm going to scream that loud, again, I'm going to scream that loud to the King that died for me on the cross, to my Father in heaven, to knowing where I have eternal life. Because the Lord says, don't build up treasures here on earth, but build them up in heaven. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to shout, and I'm going to praise the Lord for what He's done for me. Amen? So let's turn to Psalm 32, 11. Psalm 32, 11. Glory to God. And it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Well, you're righteous. You have the righteousness of God now. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So, shout for joy. I'm going to read you a couple of these other ones. You don't have to turn to it. In Psalms 9:2, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. In Psalm 132:16, it says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. In Psalm 30, verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. And another part of praising and worshiping is dance. Uh-oh, what do you mean dance? Man, I ain't going to dance. What are you talking about? Dance, brother. You go out in the world and dance. You used to go to the nightclubs and dance until you're sweating so hot, you begin to tear off your clothes. Come on, man. I've been there. I know. Well, now it's time to dance for the Lord. He loves it. Who do you think created dance? He did. Let's go back to Psalm 149. Remember? He said, dance. I just want to show you this again. 149, chapter 149, verse 3, says, let them praise His name with the dance. Let them praise His name with the dance. The next psalm over, Psalm 150, says, praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and what? Dance. Praise Him with string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, praising the Lord with dance. Man, last Saturday night, we boogied down. People were dancing all over the place. It was powerful. We can praise Him in the dance. He loves it. He created it. Now I'm going to show you something. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Hallelujah. Let me show you what... Now, King David, he was the king. Right? Now, 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. It's right after Kings. 1 and 2 Kings, then you go to Chronicles. And we're going to go to 1 Chronicles. So here is King David. Wow. Now, he was the king. He had riches, wisdom, and knowledge, power. And, I mean, he had everything. He had the presence of God. He had the blessings of God. He had the anointing of God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. Verse 27 through 29. Now here's the king, ruler millions of people underneath him. He's the ruler. What does he do? And it says in verse 27, David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, the Chenaniah, I can't pronounce it so well anyways, they were the music masters with singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, with shouting and with the sound of a horn, trumpets and cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. And it happened, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart. Now what was he doing? He was dancing before the ark all the way, shouting and giving praises unto the Lord God Almighty. He was dancing before the Lord. And you and I can dance before the Lord. It's okay. We've danced before the devil, right? Well, don't you think it's time we dance before the Lord? What else can we do to praise and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Psalms, or go up to Psalms 47. We can clap our hands. Do you understand that you're an instrument of praise? Clapping hands is like cymbals knocking together. Praising God is like a trumpet blowing. Shouting. Dancing. Man, we're an instrument. We're an instrument of praise. And we're going to give praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Psalms 47. That's what the Psalms are, songs unto the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Now, what does the first verse say? It says, Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. I mean, that's why you're giving him praise. And he will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, who he loves. God has gone up with the shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. And it goes on. But I want to show you that you can clap. Praise the Lord. Clap. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, just keep going back. I mean, go forward. Turn to the right. Isaiah is after the Psalms, after the Proverbs. Isaiah 55, this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chapter to read, and I encourage you to read it, especially when you're having a hard time. Read it. Some of you are having a hard time right now, so I encourage you, you know, when you get done with hearing this teaching, to read it. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Remember I shared with you that we are also trees, right? And we bear fruit. Well, this is one of the praises to God. We can clap our hands. We can dance. We can shout. And there's another thing we can do. Let's go to Psalms 141. Psalms 141. Hallelujah. So, if you've been going to a church that they're just bowing their heads all day long and not singing praises and shouting to God, and it seems like it's kind of dead, go to a live one where people are casting out demons, praying in tongues, laying their hands on the sick, singing in praises unto the Lord, dancing, jumping for joy. I mean, God is joy. He created joy. He wants us to have fun. He said, I came to this world to bring you life more abundantly, not to be miserable, but to give you joy. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Psalms 141, we'll start with verse 1 and go to verse 2. It says, Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. You know, we can sing and cry out to God at the same time. And we're asking Him, Lord. Do you know when you're singing praises unto the Lord, because the Bible says if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. He's moving on your behalf. While you're praising and worshiping Him, having a good time in His presence, He's already sending the angels are working on your behalf of your prayers that you've been praying. Is that powerful? Now in verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So, what are you doing? You're lifting up your hands as an evening sacrifice. You know, the Bible says, lay your hands. Those who believe will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, if you're transferring an anointing through your hands, why not receive it through your hands? So you want to lift up these antennas and praise and worship to God, because these are holy hands. You want to surrender them to the Lord. You know, did you ever hear the saying, let go and let God? Well, you know, let go. So you're lifting up your hands, you're saying, I'm letting go. You're surrendering to Him, and you're letting Him. And let me tell you, He'll fill you, He'll change you, He'll break you and mold you for His glory. So you can lift your hands up. Let's go to Psalm 28. Let's back up a little more. Well, okay. Excuse me. Let's stop at Psalm 134. Psalm 134. Now let's just read the whole Psalm. Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you His servants of the Lord. Aren't you servants of the Lord? Well, you know that you bless God by praising and worshiping? He says, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. So it's good to go to church at night. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. So we want to bless God. Lift up your hands. Lift them up. It's okay. And there is more in the Bible about lifting up your hands. Let's go to Psalm 63. Let's work our way back and just go through a couple of these. Psalm 63, verse 4. I want to show you these because I want you to understand. I want you to get prepared. I'm trying to show you things that are, when we begin to please God, let me tell you, you are pleased. You're happy and joyful. Psalm 63. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just read it. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. That's why it's good to seek Him in the morning. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the where? Sanctuary. In the potter's house. To see your power and your glory. Where? In the potter's house. Because when we gather together, there's a stronger anointing. Because, verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. This is a powerful one. I will lift up my hands in your name. I will lift up my hands in your name. Lifting up the hands. So, I want to see a whole new change in your praise and worship. I want to see you get into places. You know, maybe God's using you to change some places. God will be using you to send you into places to break some religion, the stiff neck. Remember, we talked about that, too. God will use you. Praise and worship. You know what? Even in your own home, put on some praise and worship. Begin to dance around the house, skip around the house. Lift your hands up and praise and worship while you're doing the dishes. Whatever it is. Washing your car. Man, keep the praise and worship music on. And just give Him glory. And you'll find your life changing because you're doing a spiritual law. You're sowing, and you're also reaping. You're sowing and reaping. So we have shout, dance, clapping of the hands, and lifting up of the hands. praise the Lord. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's so simple, but yet the devil tries to turn it around. And he doesn't want you to praise the Lord. He doesn't want you lifting up your hands. He doesn't want you shouting and singing. And speaking of shouting, let's go to Joshua. Praise God. Are you understanding a little bit more? Joshua's in the Old Testament. Are you understanding a little bit more about praising and worshiping? Man, don't let the devil prevent you from praising and worshiping. Please, just kick him in the butt. Resist him. Submit yourself to God. Tell the devil to take a hike and lift your hands. Let go. Let God and praise and worship. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, when I'm going through troubles, when the devil's tormenting me, I have to praise and worship. I mean, I have to. And sometimes it's hard to get into praise and worship. Sometimes it's hard to enter in. But it's okay. Because once you enter in, all of a sudden you find yourself flowing. Let's go to Joshua 6. You find yourself flowing and things are happening. It's like, wow. Joshua 6, let's start at verse 12. Hallelujah. Now we're talking, here the Lord tells Joshua, he says, look it, I'm going to give you Jericho. Now in verse 1 he says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So they couldn't even get in there. It was this huge wall of fortress around there. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given Jericho into your hand and its kings and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. You shall do this 6 days. So once a day, they will march around the city. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. So before the ark is the priest with the ram's horns. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And in verse 5 it says, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man, straight before him. Now, isn't that powerful? Here, the shout, the praise and worship go before the ark. Once a day, they walked around this place. And then on the seventh day, they walked around it, on the seventh day, they walked around it seven times. Now, let's go to verse 12 in Joshua 6, in the same chapter, but let's just go to verse 12. And it says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. So see, here's music going ahead. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. Now, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about dawning of the day, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord God has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she did the messengers, because she hid the messengers that were sent. So check this out, man. This is wild. So here the Lord tells Joshua, look at the city's yours. Why? They didn't fight this with flesh and blood. They fought it with spiritual. So you see that shouting, singing unto the Lord with the music, that destroyed the walls. The walls. And walls are known as strongholds. Sometimes singing and praising and worshiping destroys strongholds that are coming against us. It looses us from these things. Now, is this powerful? Now, I'm going to give you a few other things here. Let's go to Samuel. Let me show you a couple other things. This is about praising and worshiping. Let's go to 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 10. Now you need to go a little bit further. It's after Judges. Praise God. 1 Samuel 10. And we'll go to verse 5 and 6. 1 Samuel 10, verse 5 and 6. Praise God. Now, when you begin to praise and worship, something is happening to you. You become a new man. You become a new person. Now, here, this is King Saul, and Samuel's the prophet. Samuel says to him, look at me, and I want you to go hang around with these people. He says, they will give you certain things. If you get a chance, you can read this. But I don't want to get real in depth with it. I just want to assure you about becoming a new man. So let's go to verse 5. And it says, this is Samuel telling Saul what to do. He says, and after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, and flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Why? Because they're singing and praising unto the Lord. And as they're singing and praising unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to prophesy. And in verse 6 it says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and be turned into another man. Isn't that wild? And you'll be turned into another man. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Now let's go to, let's stay in Samuel. Let's go to chapter 16. I just want to show you some of these things, how important it is in praise and worship. It's the greatest weapon that we have. One of the greatest weapons that God has given us. These are all weapons that God has given us. And I'm revealing these weapons to you so that you can use them. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. Okay. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Why? Because he was disobedient from the Lord all the time. So the Lord removed the Holy Spirit from him and gave him a distressing spirit. And in verse 23, and it says, and so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. So whenever the distressing spirit was upon Saul, David would come and play the harp, and he would sing psalms, because remember, David wrote a lot of the psalms. Then Saul would become what? Refreshed, well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now check this out. Three things. When you begin to praise and worship the Lord, and you begin to lose sight of yourself, and you begin to put your eyes on the Lord, you become refreshed, you begin to get healed, and deliverance. Remember, the distressing spirit left, he got well, and he became refreshed. Those are the things of praising and worshiping the Lord. Things happen for you. Now, I want to go to Isaiah and show you a couple other things and how God uses this as a strong weapon. Isaiah 30, refreshing, healing, and deliverance. Refreshing, healing, and deliverance. Praise and worship the Lord. A great, great weapon of God. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 32. Isaiah chapter 30 and 32. Praise God. Now God also uses these things as a weapon. All right? And it says, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps. And in the battles of brandishing, He will fight with it. See, God used the tambourines and harps to punish the enemy. It's the music. It's the things of the praising and worshiping. It's binding the powers of darkness in the heavenlies. All right? In Isaiah 10, let's turn to Isaiah 10 quickly, please. Isaiah 10, 27. When we begin to praise and worship the Lord, it's like dancing with God. When He shows up, He begins to rub off on you. All right? That's called anointing. The word anointing means to rub. It means to rub. And God anointed Saul to become king. They used oil. We're going to talk more about the anointing later, but I just want to share with you, anointing means to rub. So when you're singing and praising and worshiping God, not only are you kicking butt on the devil and the powers of darkness in the heavenlies, and you're loosing yourself from strongholds, and you're getting filled with the Holy Spirit because you're sowing into the kingdom of God. You're sowing by singing and praising to God, and you're beginning to reap. Well, this anointing comes on you, this presence of God, and it doesn't rub off. But that's why, you know, do you ever take something that glows in the dark, that stuff that glows in the dark, and you put it under the light, and it glows for a while. The longer you leave it under the light, the longer it glows. Well, that's the anointing. The longer that we praise and worship God, the longer we stay in His presence, the more we glow. And, you know, when we get out of it, the anointing wears off. So that's why we have to keep going back to get refilled. We have to get refreshed, get healed, and get delivered all the time. Because we're a bunch of dust collectors, and we need to get the dust shaken off of us. So in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, remember I share with you about the anointing. I mean, in verse, Isaiah chapter 10, in verse 27. Praise God. Here it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder." In other words, your burdens, your concerns, your worries, and His yoke from His neck, which is bondage. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, the anointing that's on you because you've been rubbing with God. And because that's rubbing on you, that anointing is giving you power by the Holy Spirit. That anointing is destroying the yoke of bondage. It's breaking those things. So see, praise and worship, now we talked about here that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. You do spiritual warfare. You get filled with the Holy Spirit because you're sowing and reaping. Right? You become a new man. You're changing. You're constantly changing. Because worship changes you. Praise and worship fills you because you're sowing and reaping. I can't emphasize enough the awesomeness of praising and worshiping the Lord. It is so important. Okay? Let's go to a couple other things. Let's go to Acts. Let's go and see what Brother Paul and Silas did when they were in deep trouble over their heads. Okay? Let's go to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I just want you to understand the importance. Book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts and chapter 16, glory to the Lamb of God. Now, if you recall that I was telling you about the spirit of divination in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16, we talked about the spirit of divination. Remember that woman that was demon-possessed? And Paul turned around and cast the demon out. Well, they threw him and Silas in jail because they didn't like what he was doing. You know, and let me tell you something. You're going to be persecuted too sometimes on some of the things that you're doing. Because the natural man, the natural thoughts, they can't comprehend all the things that you're doing because you're doing spiritual warfare. You're doing things in the spirit, not in the flesh. And some people who've even been walking with the Lord for a long time, who haven't been shown these truths, need to know these truths. So here Paul casts out this demon, and they get thrown in jail. And I'm sure that they were beaten with rods, and pretty tormented there. So they're in jail, chained up, In verse 25 it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And in verse 26 it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Everyone's chains were loosed. Now, here's Paul and Silas. I mean, they're probably bleeding, they're beaten, but in their distress, they look at each other and say, let's start praying. Let's start singing. And they began to sing, they began to pray, and as they were singing, this earthquake, wham, God caused an earthquake, and what happened? Because they were shackled. You know, they were shackled with chains in these prisons. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And that's what God does to us. He opens the door and he looses us from the chains of the bondage of the world. In our distress, we lift up a song of deliverance. We sing high praises to him. We just lift our hands. We let go and we let God. We lose ourselves and we begin to sing and praise and worship him. And not only do you become a new man, but God begins to work on your behalf immediately. Amen? So here, their chains are loosed. And if we go on to verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had left, drew his sword and was ready, about to kill himself. Why? Because they would have been killed for letting the prisoners out. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called out for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm telling you, when you sing and praise and worship unto God, his presence comes around you. And when he comes around you, it affects other people. Man, don't give up. Hold on. And it brings salvation to those around you. Because here, this guy comes up to him and says, wow, what you got is powerful. See, people are going to begin to look at you and say, how are you changing? You're going to just tell them, the Lord. They're not going to understand that. But it's the anointing of Christ. It starts inwardly and begins to work outwardly. So here this guy came up and said, man, how do I get saved like you? And Paul says to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that God is answering your prayers, and as you're praying for your brothers and sisters, as you're praying for your family, I tell you, God will bring them in. He's not a respecter of persons. But there's something we must do. Remember I said, if you'll do this, God will do that. See, if we'll do this, remember, God paid the price for us on the cross already. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He finished it. It's all done. So, now we have to come to the cross. Let's turn to Psalms 91. I just want to show you a couple things here. Isn't that powerful? See, it's the presence of God. It's the anointing. That brings the anointing, praise and worship. We do Saturday night praise and worship. We have an anointing service. We use someone else's sanctuary, and we gather together. And we praise and worship in the presence of God. People get healed. They get delivered. And they get filled and refreshed. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whatever they need, God knows. Let's go to Psalms 91. I just want to share this one thing with you. I know this has been a lot, and you can review it. Please take your time and understand this. And don't let the devil prevent you from opening your mouth. Don't let the devil prevent you from humbling yourself before the Lord. Because Daddy's looking for those who will praise him in truth. In spirit. Now in Psalms 91, what's the first thing it says? It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, and the rest of these are promises.
But if you were to look at this, where it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, it's if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. How do you dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Spending time with the Lord. Singing and praising and worshiping. And I know sometimes we can't do it on our own. Until we can get stronger. But we get stronger by gathering together and assembling together. By being around brothers and sisters in Christ. By praising and worshiping. I just told you about the oil of unity in Psalm 133. Where it says, it is good for the brethren to dwell together because it's a precious ointment. And that's by the anointing of Christ Jesus. Now I want to share with you a couple things about the anointing. You get the anointing by prayer. The anointing is used for service. The anointing is used for you to say no to temptation and to be strong and say yes to God. The anointing, every believer has been given an anointing. Now, in the New Testament, the anointing was frequently used in the connection with healing. And the Holy Spirit activities in the Holy Spirit, let me say that, in a believer's life, they're pictured in terms associated with anointing. When Jesus' disciples anointed the sick, when James instructed the elders of the church to anoint the heads of the sick with oil, this anointing was used for the purpose of healing. Also in the New Testament, it refers to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which brings understanding. This anointing is not only for kings and priests and prophets, but it's for you and me and for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The anointing occurs physically with a substance such as oil or ointment. And this is also a spiritual anointing, as the Holy Spirit anoints a person's heart and his mind with the love of Christ and by the truth of God. But the anointing can be increased by praise and worship because we're letting go of ourselves by prayer. Of course, it's feeding our spirit too, and we need to feed our spirit, and you know how important that is. So I encourage you, continue to praise and worship. Let's go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Let's see where Zephaniah is. He's in here somewhere. Here it is. It's after Habakkuk. And Nahum is before him too. Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. So we need more anointing. We have to ask for the anointing. Lord, increase the anointing. He's saying, increase more praise and worship. Increase more prayer and you'll get more of anointing. Amen? We need to have it. You know, the angels... When the angels worshiped the Lord in heaven. You know, the wise men, what did they do when they saw Jesus? They worshiped him. Praise and worship is essential. So in Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, says, the Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So when we're singing, when we're singing, praising, and worshiping unto God, He's rejoicing over us. I mean, do you see that? Isn't that powerful? Let's go to Revelation. I want to show you a couple other things. I mean, you know, we're going to be praising and worshiping because this is a powerful high. We're going to be praising and worshiping when we go home. So we're praising and worshiping right now because we can actually have the presence of heaven right here. We can actually have the anointing and the power right here with us. So don't let the devil steal it from you. Don't let him prevent you from gathering together. Don't let him prevent you from drinking and eating the Word of God and praising and worshiping because it's an oil of joy and gladness. It's wonderful. Let's go to Revelations chapter 4, please. Revelations chapter 4. Now I want to start at verse 2. Revelations chapter 4 and verse 2. Now here's a man who prays and worships. Now this was John. And it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So I want you to know, that's what's going on in heaven. We'll be worshiping the Lord God Almighty. The angels worship him. The saints worship him in heaven. The elders worship him. And you and I worship him. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't hesitate. When you get in the sanctuary, when you get in the potter's house, praise and worship the Lord so that the potter can mold you. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to James 4. Okay, we're going to James 4, 7. James 4, 7. You know, it's so important about praise and worship. Here in James 4, 7 it says, Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And what he's talking about, those who are trying to hold on to the world and those who are trying to hold on to the Lord. He's saying if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. If you'll submit yourself to him and resist the devil, he will flee. So that's what we're doing. We're praising and worshiping the Lord. We're drawn nigh to him. Why? Because there's a fight in us. There's a fight in our members that doesn't want us to get near to the Lord. And the devil used everything he can. I'd like us to turn to Romans, please. Let's turn to Romans. Romans 7. Paul talks about this. He's going, man, there's such a fight in me that I am understanding now that it's sin. See, we have a fallen nature. And we don't have the ability or the strength to crucify ourselves. But God has the strength and ability and the power to crucify our own flesh. We can't do it. We can't do it. But when we get in his presence, he can do it. Because we're actually crucifying our flesh by singing and praising unto him. By getting filled with his spirit. By the deliverance and refreshing and the healing come. Okay? Let's go to Romans 7. And I just want us to talk about verse 15. Or let's go back to verse 14 where Paul says, For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. So he's saying, man, what I really want to do, I'm having a hard time practicing. But what I hate, that I do. So see, Paul was going through the same thing. I mean, it's a fight in our members. Now let's just move over to Romans 8, the next chapter. 37 through 39, I'm sorry. But the Lord is telling us, Paul is saying this through the Lord, he's saying, Look, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why are we more than conquerors? Because when we come into His presence and we get filled and we get empowered, God gives us this, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, because Jesus paid the price for us. For I am persuaded that neither death, in verse 38, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us so much. The least we could do is pay tribute to Him and let go of ourselves and praise and worship Him, that He can continue to do the mighty work that He has chose us to do. You know, let's go to the potter's house. Let's let the potter mold us for His glory. Let's fill our vessels, these potted vessels, with His presence by us praising and worshiping Him. Remember, it's a spiritual law, sowing and reaping. Remember, dance, clap your hands, lift your hands, shout. You do it at a football game. You do it at a baseball game. You even sit in front of the TV and hope and howl. Well, how about doing it in the sanctuary, gathering together for the special anointing? I pray that you receive the understanding of the spiritual warfare. I pray in the name of Jesus that the seed that has been planted in you will grow and bear fruit for the glory of God Almighty, and that you'll be able to carry this message and this truth to others that are bound by religiosity, that are bound by the things of the devil, that they will get set free, healed, delivered, and refreshed in His presence by praising and worshiping the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord and be filled with joy, with peace, and with righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I love you, my brother and sister. I know you'll be getting more teachings. And let's walk together with Jesus Christ, giving Him all the glory. So, Father, I ask that you bless my brothers and sisters, guide and protect them, teach them your ways and guide them in your path, and increase the anointing through their praise and worship. And Lord, as they praise and worship you, I ask that you'll give them a revelation, confirmation, and manifestation that this spiritual law works, bringing glory to your name. I love you. God bless. Talk to you soon. And to God be all the glory.